thank you for listening. This is The Road Best Traveled.
My name is Sretton.
My name is Greg.
Genesis.
You sound pretty smooth, man.
Yeah, he's done this before.
I want to clear my throat and it's all downhill.
I'll share the goals of the show first. I have a little outline. The goals of the show are to share our fitness journeys and to give out advice. So everybody else that's part of this show is actually in pretty good shape and keeps the fitness lifestyle in mind. I'm the one with the worst habits. I'm the one with inconsistency, which is fine. I'll own it because the plan, part of the plan of the show is for you guys to help me change that. And as a result, anybody else that's listening that wants to do the same thing, you can help them too. And then if I do what I think I will do, I would also help them. So that's the first thing. And then you guys also have your own. Like, it's not easy to maintain. It's not easy to, like Genesis, for example, is a power lifter. It's not easy to get that next level of strength to hit that next, like,
PR.
What do you, PR, yeah. PR stands for what? Personal record?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
I'm also going to represent the layman. I don't want to say the dummy because that's mean, but the layman, the uneducated. When I read articles about CrossFit, I feel like I'm reading like an advanced math book. There's so many abbreviations and so many like this and that. I worked out with Genesis. It's been like 3 months now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And he showed me a sheet of paper and then he sent me some links from bodybuilding.com. Like, this is a bench program you should try, like all this stuff. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know. I need to open like three extra Google windows because I don't know. Like, I don't know a lot of that stuff. It's not. It could be rocket science. There's a lot to it.
Oh, but, it's very simple.
But it's, yeah, it's very simple. Like, you pick up on some of the abbreviations and you're good. So anyway, for now, PR is personal record. What's the second here? Oh yeah, the second goal is to create an online community of idea sharing and support for anyone that is or wants to live a more active lifestyle. This is a typo. And then I put to create our tribe. Maybe I'll cut that part out.
Do we have a tribal name, dance? Or
we could have all kinds of stuff.
Tribal tattoos.
Maybe not. Bring back that Urlacher tattoo.
Oh yeah.
Then we can convince him to come because he still lives in Chicago, right? Him, yeah. Pam Anderson, like anybody with that tattoo. What's the third one? Part of that is, so we'll have our website, we'll have everything set up, and it'll be good to engage other people online. I didn't mention it yet, but we are recording in Hobart, Indiana. That's Northwest Indiana. But we each live in different parts of Northwest Indiana, which is called the region. And we want to engage the community in being more fitness-minded and listening to us because what we say is interesting or educational, insightful, whatever. So we want to engage the community in that through our website, through Facebook, through whatever areas we can do that and help each other out. It's always easier to do something. I don't know if I know people where one person goes on a diet, another person doesn't, like husband and wife team, and it just doesn't work. It's too hard. You're trying not to eat honey buns and your beautiful wife is pounding honey buns, not to make assumptions about anybody's wife and their honey bun eating addiction.
That is the worst thing you can do. Is go on a diet with your spouse.
It's tough if they don't. Together?
Together. This is what happens. You both stick to it. You will lose weight. She will not. And she will hate you. That's exactly what happens.
The third thing is to engage the local fitness community, interview local leaders in fitness and nutrition, as well as anyone else that is a leader in this field that is willing to discuss things with us. What I mean by that is once we get it going, I want to get local gym owners, people that have been in the game for a while, nutrition experts. Now they have doctors that specialize in functional medication, which is something that's kind of pretty, like, it's pretty awesome that term's flying around. That's like years ago when Atkins was a thing, and now I guess it's sort of replaced by paleo. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's super similar.
I think keto. Ketogenic diets.
Yeah, ketogenic. Yeah. And so that's it. But now the science is backing it up. Back when Atkins was there, he was like talking about it, but my man was fat and somebody made fun, like he died an early age, but I think he fell down some stairs or something.
Yeah, he didn't die from, I think, nutrition. I think he died from an unfortunate accident.
Yeah, but the science behind like ketogenic diets is pretty amazing. Same with combined with like, what do you call it, intermittent fasting? It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, she does that. You have low carb, ketogenic, low fat, intermittent fasting. Weight Watchers, yeah, we all know that works. Yeah. And the what's that, paleo diet?
Paleo,
yeah. And those are pretty much your big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
The intermittent fasting one is it does work. I've tried variations of it. It works.
I have questions about that, but in the future I'll have questions. I have a friend that's been doing it for 3 months, And he just switched, like he gave himself an 8-hour window. And now for anybody that doesn't know, intermittent fasting is pretty much like you do cycles that are usually like 24 hours, the basic one. I know there's ones 16. That are like,
it varies, but yeah, you don't eat for a pre-planned period of time, right. And then you eat in a certain window.
Right. And it's usually 8-hour window, right, that you can eat?
16-8, I think, is standard or the starting point, at least. 16 fasting, 8 eating.
Okay. The guy at work, he did a couple months, 16-8, and now he's, like, the last 2 weeks has been doing, he's been giving himself a 2-hour window. We'll see where it goes. What I wanted to ask him, because he does do CrossFit, and then he swims, too. I'm just wondering, like, for endurance stuff or like say powerlifting or any non-maintenance stuff like strength training or endurance training, how much of an effect does it have on your stamina, on your workouts, on your performance? I don't know.
It depends on what your window is. Like for me personally, if I work out in the morning, I skip breakfast. So I do a variation of it. So I don't do the 16 hours. I'll do 12. So if I eat 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Let's go with 9. So I eat dinner at 9, and that's it. So I'll skip breakfast and I'll go to the gym around 10 in the morning, and then after the gym, then I'll eat. So that's my 12 hours, and it doesn't, you know,
doesn't affect your lift.
It doesn't affect my lift. It doesn't endurance energy. No effect. Now, if you throw other variables in it, like work, other activities that you may do around the house, and yeah, it's gonna have maybe some effect, but no, it shouldn't affect your endurance. I mean, that's why you're going to the gym, to build up the endurance anyway.
Yeah. Have you messed with any of that?
A little bit. Kind of right now, what I do is like I wake up, have like a cup of coffee, and then pretty much don't eat until I get home from work. Mm. So I'll fast for like, you know, 8 to 10 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Some people consider, you know, water or, you know, things like that, breaking the fast. Other people, it's kind of like, I guess, dependent on what, how you kind of view your fast. But yeah, like I said, I'll have that coffee. So usually, you know, if my last meal is around 8, 9 o'clock, then, you know, I'm not eating until 5, 6, 7 o'clock the next day.
Right.
But in terms of like endurance, I think it just depends. You know, like for me, you know, if you wake up, you work out, and you're coming off of like a 4-hour fast, or not 4 hours, but like let's say 8 hours from your last meal before you went to bed, it's not going to affect you very much. Like you still have that nutrition in your body. But if I were to go to work and then, you know, fasting all day, going to work, coming home, and then training, I think it would have an effect. Just because I don't have any nutrients, I'm tired, you know, I didn't refuel, you know, my body at all. So I think it kind of depends. In general, I think keto or keto, however you want to say it, I think there are some studies out there that have a slight negative effect on performance. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if that's what you're going to stick with, like nutritional wise, like, you know, there's two parts to fitness, nutrition, exercise. If you could stick to a keto, you know, diet, then, you know, and your performance suffers a little bit, well, at least you're still on your diet.
Right.
You know, where if you try to do, you know, like a clean eating where you eat, you know, 6 times a day, but they're real small meals, and technically your training and performance is better on that. But, you know, you yo-yo on it. You could do it for a week and then, you mm-hmm. know, you're off it for a week and then you're on it for a week and then you're off it for 2 weeks and you're on it for 2 weeks. It's better to stay consistent in both aspects.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, you're trying to, you know, grind out that performance factor just a little bit. It's still better to stay consistent with the nutrition than not stay consistent with it.
Cool. I asked about the performance stuff, but I was kind of going to ask about cognitive, if you're fasting and maybe your performance, so you guys both say it doesn't really affect it. It might minimally, but how do your brains work? What if somebody asks you to make some change or, you know, do anything like that? Are you foggy? Are you fuzzy? I think usually when people overeat, they tend to be mush brained. But what I wanted to do was hit the rest of these goals real quick. The fourth one is just to fill in the gaps. Anything that we don't discuss, maybe we could figure out what we don't and fill in that stuff so that when somebody listens to us, they get a really good picture of how to attack any goals that they might have or get new insight or just understand, be like, oh, I'm going through that too. I do that too. Oh, that's me. It'd be good. It'd be part of the building of this whole thing. So You guys both seem pretty knowledgeable. So what I want to do now and what we might end up doing, and this is what we might, because I said I want to limit it to 1 hour. What we might end up doing for the rest of this is just do a little, I don't know if you guys want to go first, because I don't, all I have is like self-deprecating shit to talk about. Like, I don't have anything.
Let's hear it.
All right. So my name is Sretton. I'm going to be the guinea pig of the show in a way. I'm in the middle of a transition. I need to lose a bunch of weight. I need to get into shape. I need to have better habits, sleeping, nutrition, everything, consistency. I have all these goals, which part of our show is that we're going to document what I do. I played soccer and I'm 39. I played soccer in high school. What did I do in college? I did the freshman, you know, they do the freshman. What are they? Freshman 15.
Yeah.
I did freshman. I gained like, I think 60 pounds my freshman year. By sophomore year, I was 113 pounds heavier than when I graduated high school. And I still tried to be I still rode the coattails of my activity in high, like in high school, I was every day I was doing something like soccer. And then I did like, I'm Serbian. So I did Serbian folklore dancing on Fridays, performances on Saturdays. Don't laugh. So I did all that stuff, and I also grew up, I was fascinated with muscle and fitness. I just really, I thought like that's the way you're supposed to do stuff, lifting. So I followed all those dudes from like the late 80s and then 90s, everything they did. So I thought I was really smart as far as like what it took to get big in the gym, but I just went and did whatever regular prep stuff. When I got to college, being a fatso, I really got into eating everything, and I was, whatever, for whatever reason, I just gained a bunch of weight, was way less active. And then after that, I, like right now, I'm around, hovering around 280, and I do 20 pound swings up and down. And, you know, I want to get to 220. I want to be able to, like, I play basketball leagues. That's the one thing that I've been doing consistently over the last like 10 years is playing basketball leagues all the time. And I'm considered the fast fat guy, the fast big guy. It's terrible because the fast big guy is going to have a heart attack on the court right around his 40th birthday. I'm going to like try to dunk, miss, then get dunked on, and my heart's just going to like
stop.
Are
we still doing the whole dunking thing? We've been doing this for what, 10 years now?
Hey, man, I got my goals. I'm going to be that 40-year-old guy that dunks. Actually, I don't even, can Michael Jordan even dunk anymore?
Yes, he can.
You guys got that.
Yes, he can.
Can he? Good. Well, he's a lot taller than me. Not really.
6'6". 6'6", maybe 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, between 6'2 and 3. Yeah. So he's not that much taller. So that's me. There's not much to it. I got all these goals for what we're going to do here, and I kind of want to be the example that working the system works. I picked my co-hosts. You guys happen to be people that I know that have been doing the thing for years now. So whichever one of you guys wants to go next, go ahead. I'm sure there's more shit I could talk about, but that's where I'm at. And I thank your lucky stars. I only took like 4 minutes doing it. I could have kept going. I'm going to keep going. Greg?
All right, well, so once again, my name's Greg, 28 years old. Kind of been into sports and activities my entire life, mainly baseball. Played a little football, like, you know, basketball, but baseball competitively. So I've always kind of been active, but I really didn't know anything about nutrition. You know, in high school, I started lifting. After probably a couple years of lifting, I thought, I kind of have it all figured out. You know, like I know, you know, you're supposed to do this many sets, this many reps, you know, add weight, whatever. And I really kind of thought I had it figured out. And then around 21, I was just messing around on YouTube, ran across this guy. And well, before that, you know, I used to read all the fitness magazines and stuff like that. And especially for nutrition, you know, I always kind of just wanted, man, just something easy, you know, something I can do. I never really cooked, you know. You read these bodybuilder diets, they're eating, you know, 7 steaks a day, you know, a whole fish, you know, things like that, you know, and it's just, and it's not, you know, using performance enhancing drugs as well, right. You know, so a normal person, or especially me at the time, you know, like I said, I didn't know anything about nutrition. So I was a little overweight while still being active. But then, you know, I started watching this YouTube video and it just really made sense to me. And then I kind of started.
Sorry to cut you off. Who was the YouTube guy? Because we're going to talk about YouTube a lot. I think YouTube is the internet is an amazing tool for information now. And I've paid like 5, 10, 15 bucks for certain things, buy books because I want the thing. But I mean, you can get everything for free.
Right.
And a lot of these people are easy to contact too. Like you can actually shoot an email to some of these people.
Oh yeah.
And they'll talk with you. So sorry. So who was this?
So like the first guy I started watching, his name is Matt Ogus. He's still on YouTube, or yeah, still does stuff. And then I kind of started springboarding off of that, just watching other videos. And, you know, they're repeating the same stuff. And especially back then, the fitness community, at least the natural bodybuilding fitness community, it's kind of what I got started in or watching. They all were saying the same things. They'd all share each other's videos. They do collaborations. I mean, now it's huge. And, you know, back then there was maybe 20, 25 channels of good content. Now there's, you know, hundreds, thousands.
Right.
So it's not quite as like tightly knit.
1001.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and it just made sense. And it just made nutrition a lot easier for me and broke down the training as well a lot easier for me. So it's really kind of when I started, I guess, getting more serious and more of, hey, I want to, you know, kind of make fitness my career as well. So that's kind of where I came from. Like I said, just, you know, always been in sports, but really didn't know anything about nutrition up until about like 7 years ago. And, I, you know, I'm still learning. It's not
right.
It's not something you grasp just from like a week. For the most part, nutrition and fitness are simple, but there's so much complexity to them as well.
And you're a personal trainer.
Correct.
All right, cool. What's up, Genesis?
I have nothing. Where do I start? Name's Genesis. Guess you could say I'm officially a powerlifter. Yay. That's where is it? Powerlifting. Even though I do respect all fitness levels, I have a few bodybuilder friends that we go back and forth, powerlifter this, bodybuilder that. Yeah, all the good fun. We give CrossFitters a hard time, but I do respect anybody in the fitness aspect at any level. So let's see, where did I start?
Thing is, has it been a gradual obsession?
Yeah. I decided to powerlift 2 years ago.
Right.
Actually, I was just telling people that I was going to do a powerlifting competition. I wanted to, but you know, kind of, you know, you tell people, I'm going to learn how to do a backflip, or I'm going to learn, you know, one day dunk. It's just one of those things. But I found myself, the more and more I kept telling people that I was going to do a powerlifting competition, people kept asking me, it was time to put up or shut up. So I finally entered myself in my first powerlifting competition 2 years ago, May of 2016, possibly. Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. But before then, as far as working out, if you would have knew me growing up, played basketball, not competitively, just for fun. Was never that really good at it, but that's just what we did. Play basketball.
You played a little college ball.
Yeah. Somehow I accidentally made a Division III college NAIA basketball team, but you know, I digress. And actually, that's when I start working out. So one day we were all in the weight room messing around. Granted, I never touched a weight in my life, never picked one up. And so we're sitting on the Smith machine. And anybody know who familiar with the Smith machine? It's the Smith machine. That's all I have to say. So I seen a guy using it.
Are you saying that that's not a machine that's respected, maybe? Or
I personally feel all Smith machines should be right next to the deadlift platform where you do sumo. That's just me. But that's just that's the powerlifting speaking right there. Smith machine, sumo deadlift. That's just.
So you don't respect sumo deadlifts?
That's a whole. I do and I don't.
Yeah.
But probably more so I don't, because I can't sumo. That's probably why. So guys on a Smith machine, I look at the weight. I didn't even know what the weight was. I just took a guess. I didn't even know how to add the weight properly. So I tell the guy, I can do that. He says, no, you can't. I said, what is that? He said, 185. I said, I'm 185. I went in 185. I was probably more like 220. You know, it's one of those things where as a guy, you always give your high school weight, kind of like a female. So I was giving my high school weight, 185. I was probably more like 225, 230. Never touched a weight in my life. I said, I can do that. That's my body weight. Sit down on the Smith machine, gives me a spot, unracks it, goes straight down, hits my chest. The whole entire gym weight room is just dying laugh. They let it sit there for at least, it seemed like an eternity. got it off me. And was I embarrassed? Oh, yeah. I went home. So my goal when I first started working out was to be able to lift 185 on the Smith machine. And that's where I started. So my first day at the gym after that, I came into the gym when nobody was there early in the morning with a piece of paper. And I went from machine to machine. And I wrote all the instructions that was on the machine. Literally wrote everything down. Muscle, chest, all the. I had no clue what to do. But that was my goal, was to do 85. That's kind of what got me started. And I've been lifting ever since, but kind of going through the motions. But things didn't start getting really clear for me probably until about 2 years ago when I officially start powerlifting. I have tons of powerlifting stories. Only been doing it 2 years, but I'm pretty sure we'll touch on that a little later. But yeah,
how many competitions have you been in?
I've been in three. My first two was a bench only competition. That's my strong part. First place in my division.
All right.
And my most recent one was a push and pull which is deadlift, which is bench and deadlift. And I got first in that too, which was pretty cool.
Can you bench the 180 now?
Oh, yeah. I got a 180.
Okay. So in this world of fitness, I kind of want to hit everything. I want to hit every angle. So mental, physical, nutritional, like I want to, you know, sleep, whatever all those, whatever each facet of living the healthiest life that you can. I kind of want to talk about that as we do this thing. So one of the things in society that people normally talk about, because we live in an overweight society, especially we're in the Midwest, we're near Chicago, we're in Indiana. It's one of the least fit states in the country. Greg and I were talking about this earlier, or I was talking at Greg earlier. Just a lot of fat people around here, a lot of unhealthy people around here. But there's also a lot of very fit people, about a lot of people that hike and climb and, you know, are in the gym every day. Like, there's both. They're just more of the ones that are not healthy. And everybody wants to know what that magic thing is. Everybody knows what that secret, wants to know what the secret diet is. Like, one of our running themes is going to be, like you said, put up or shut up. It's not meant to be a mean thing, and it's not meant to be something that's like a negative thing. But if you want to do something, you actually have to get up and go do it. Another theme is going to be consistency. So when you first started lifting, it took you, let's say it was 10 years ago, right?
Yes.
Fair, right? So you were eight years of just trying and trying and being consistent and going. And I remember we used to make we didn't make fun of you, but I remember he used to lift a lot. So the top half of his body got real big, but he kind of ignored his legs and stuff. And it was
naturally,
honestly,
yes.
And it was honestly like, if we're being real, it might've been like a year, but we made fun of him like once, twice. I don't know. And we, as like Genesis and I, grew up working in the same, we used to work at the Radisson together in high school and then college and then, you know, then way longer than we should have.
A lot longer.
And he took that to heart. So he is one of those people that you might envy somebody that won't let something go, because it's a driving factor to stay consistent. So whatever you need to stay consistent, to keep going, to keep doing it. So I read articles all the time about like, what, you know, what, how do you keep a constant motivation? And you just need to just do it. Now, how do you start? You just get up and do any movement. Go. I always thought it was silly when a lot of these places, like for running and walking and jogging, because I always want to do the extreme thing. Like they say, walk for 5 minutes. If you can't five minutes, then whatever. Like walk for 5 minutes today, five minutes, 5 seconds tomorrow. Like it's just do, put up or shut up, and be consistent is one of the main factors to everything. And I'm saying that as the least consistent guy of the group. So, yeah, so that's a little bit about Genesis and Greg. And what's one big fitness focus that you have had this week, whether it's talking with somebody around you, a loved one, yourself? And it might be the same thing that you had over the last like 3 months, 6 months, year.
For me, especially these last 7 weeks, I started a job that's a lot more physical. So I haven't been lifting as consistently. So just staying on point with nutrition to really not just fall behind on all facets of fitness. So I've really been just like hammering home fitness or nutrition and just kind of staying on that course.
What's when you talk nutrition, what's one of the most important things, like meal prep, your recipes you use, how frequent you go to the grocery store?
So the biggest thing is just in general, generalization, is hitting a caloric intake mark. So counting your calories. Ideally, you know, you want to count your macronutrients as well. But worst case scenario, you know, like even if I get busy or I'm tired, and I mentioned earlier, I was kind of doing a little bit more intermittent fasting. And I kind of like that, as you know, if I get home and I'm tired and I don't want to cook something or just put something together that my girlfriend already cooked, because I don't do a lot of cooking. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that I could stop and get something quick that might be high in calories, but I'm not going over on my calories for the day. Yeah, maybe I didn't quite hit, you know, my protein intake for the day, but I did hit my caloric requirement for the day.
So you track everything, or you kind of already have an idea because you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be some like trial and error, because I can't just tell you. I mean, I can give you an idea of how many calories you should be eating for the day if you want to gain weight, lose weight, or maintain weight. But everybody's just activity levels and genetics and just past dieting history will kind of dictate where you're at. But yeah, everybody should have some sort of idea how many calories they're eating for the day.
So do you keep a log?
So like if I just go by calories, I kind of just track in my head.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know, okay. I ate, you know, roughly 500 calories. Now I do weigh stuff. Like I do have a food scale. Uh-huh. So even if I'm just going by calories, I still weigh stuff.
Yeah.
But if I'm hitting macronutrients, I weigh as everything I can. But I do go by, you know, if I'm eating a protein bar, you know, I don't weigh it up. I just go by what the the package says. Yeah. You know, I my favorite thing is peanut butter.
Okay.
And I find that kind of the hardest thing to fit in to, I don't know, my nutrition, because I love to eat massive quantities of peanut butter. In even if I'm on a higher fat, you know, macronutrient ratio, I still find it hard to kind of fulfill. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I like burgers, I like pizza, I like chips, you know, I like sweets, I like salty, I do like everything. So when I do, especially when I'm, you know, dieting or I mean, I guess your whole nutrition is your diet, but when I'm cutting to lose weight, I try to keep carbs and fats moderate. Like I don't go super high on one to where I can't have the other, and I don't go, you know,
right.
So I try to keep them both moderate.
Okay. Genesis? I forgot the question.
Goal for the week. It kind of spun off. But for me, nutrition. Nutrition.
Okay.
Goal for the week. For me, as a power lifter, I'm always chasing that next, the next meet, the adrenaline rush. So for me, my goal recently, I always set an end of the year goal with all my compound lifts. So that's what powerlifting you have. Your three big lifts, the big three, bench, squat, deadlift.
Conventional deadlift.
Yes, conventional deadlift.
I got to Google sumo deadlift. Let's see what this is.
It burns me. Was watching somebody come in and sumo deadlift.
For the record, I prefer sumo deadlift over conventional.
I actually tried to learn how to sumo. I don't have it.
Is that the one where you have it up over your head?
No.
I got to look it up.
You get like a much wider stance. Uh-huh. You don't pull quite as far. Okay. A lot of, I guess, conventional deadlifters frown upon it. So
you shorten your bar path. You bend down and you stand up. Actually, you don't even bend down. I digress. I'll go to something else.
Last time Genesis and I, we worked out a couple times, and there were like, I think a month and a half gap or something between the two or three times we worked out. I think it was twice. And we worked out once, and then I worked out a couple times by myself, and I got real cocky. not for like strength or anything, just for like my knowledge. And I remember going, this must have been like a year ago, I went to the gym with my cousin. Like we all do what we usually, most of us do that easiest thing. So if like you like to jog, you'd rather jog than go do squats. I absolutely hate, I'm afraid of squats, but I'll do them. I hate lunges. Lunges are so like they just suck to do. So I usually try to avoid that. But he just wants to light jog. So we went to the gym. We're gonna do squats, and he was like, "Isn't there an easier way?" So I was like, "Yeah, we can grab those. What do you call the boxes you could jump on? Box jump? They're like just, the raised platforms." Yeah, yeah. So I grabbed one that was like 2 feet tall, and I put it under his butt. And he's like, "You got anything else? Like something taller?" I was like, dude.
You're just going to be unracking it and putting it back.
Yeah, do you want to just stand up? And like the whole and so I got frustrated.
You replace squats with squats. That's what you do. That's how you replace squats. If you don't want to, you replace squats with squats. Or if you don't like, you got to do squats.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to do back squats, try front squats. They have machine squats. Try those. I mean, squats where it is. And I'm not a person who squats. I have a million reasonable excuses, but they're still excuses for why I haven't done a full meet. That is one of my goals, to eventually do a full meet, which I will do. My strength is more of bench and deadlift.
Full meet is competition in all three.
All three lifts. So back to the goal of the week. So the goal of the week has for me has been preparing for my next meet. Haven't have a date yet, but it'll probably be, I'm thinking October, November. So right now I'm in a bench deadlift program. After my last competition doing bench and deadlift, that's where it, push and pull, that's where it's at. So my goal is mainly every week is learning my body, and that's the most important. The most overrated saying to me is no pain, no gain. That's just,
I actually learned that from you.
It is very overrated. Me and my workout partner, we go at it all the time. He'll tell me, "Oh, you had one more left. Oh, you could have did this." Over the past 2 years, I've learned my body to the point where if I'm benching, I used to come in, I just bench. Sit on a flat bench. I just did it till I got tired. If something bothered me, I just, no pain, no gain. You know, suck it up, rest. But I didn't realize my body was speaking to me. I didn't know stuff like for bench. Bench is a compound lift. People think it's all chest. Yes, it is. But it's a compound lift. So my body was telling me, "Hey, idiot, your front delts is taking a lot of pressure when you benching heavy all the time. So you need to address it." So I'm always listening to my body every week. That's my goal every week, is to come in, and when I lift, all right, what does your body tell you? Is your body telling you you need to work more your front delts, your rear delts? This week, I learned my hamstrings weren't as strong as I thought they were from deadlifting. It took a while. Even before that, I learned pre-workout. I learned that I started to stop taking pre-workout. So I would deadlift, and I would go for pre-workout, and it would set in my stomach. My body was telling me, hey, it is.
A pre-workout's a drink that...
Yeah. Yeah.
Smelly drink that you have to chug.
So on a weekly basis, that's my goal is when I come to the gym, all right, what is your body telling you to do? When to push it, when not to push it. And I'm always learning something new. Like I said, just last week, I had a little fun with a bodybuilder friend of mine that we had a little deadlift competition. That's the thing about powerlifting, lifting zero. It's fun. We have tons of fun. You see people, you know, the videos doing the hard work, the screaming, the yelling, and all that. It's amazing. But we have fun. We go to the gym. And we throw around weight. We have competitions. So we had this little deadlift competition to see who can do the most. Bodybuilder versus powerlifter. Of course, you know, I don't know who won, but that's a whole nother story. But my hamstrings took a beating because as a powerlifter, I'm not used to doing a lot of reps. I'm more of heavyweight, low reps. So my hamstrings were exposed. So what did I do? I listened to my body. I said, you know what? How about separating your leg day and doing hamstrings before you deadlift? I've had amazing results since doing that. And that's just my body. So yeah, my goal on a weekly basis is I start the week out listening to my body. And I'm always finding out things about my body that I didn't even know.
Do you document everything?
Everything. I take videos. I write it down on my phone for all my lifts. I want to see if for competition. And that's the thing about powerlifter. It's objective based. I'm one of those guys where I need objective. Always been like that. Even in video games, you get me to play Grand Theft Auto. I can't play an open world game. I need a clear cut objective. I need to know what I need to do and what are the rules within the confines of what I need to do. And so that's what powerlifting has given me. And I think that's why I've done pretty decent. There's a whole nother powerlifting community out there. That's just, I'm
another level.
Yeah. I'm at the bottom of that community, but it's still fun.
Do you document your nutrition?
No.
Your lady cooks, right?
Yeah.
She's a badass cook, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I'm very fortunate. I mean, she's a chef. So every Sunday she prepares my meals. She does all the work. So I don't keep track of it. All I know that I need to know is between a meet that my class is the 105K. So I need to be anywhere from 204 pounds, anywhere up to 231 pounds. So as long as I'm within that, I'm fine. But I like to lift at what weight I'm comfortable at. A lot of powerlifters, what they'll do is they'll drop down. A common thing they do is, what you do is you gain a lot of weight and you get strong as fuck. Can I say that?
All right.
Yeah. All right. So you get strong as fuck. And then what you do is you get your bench up to 500. And then so you're 240. So you're another weight class. You lose maybe a week before the meet, you crash diet, you lose all that weight, you drop down to a lower weight class. And you retain just enough of that power. Will you go in and bench in the meet at 500? No, but you can go in and maybe get that 500 to maybe 450.
So you've seen other guys do that. So when you see other guys doing that versus your way to try to maintain your normal weight and go in there and just have the strength that you normally have, just whatever you need to do for the day, maybe nutritionally, something to give you a little bit of an edge. After a competition, you're pretty much like, so if the competition's on a Saturday, Monday comes and you're just back at it, right? Somebody that cuts weight like that probably, is their body, how long does it take for them to get back into like normalcy? Is their body wrecked for a week or two? Or do you guys know? Does it, when you cut weight like that, and you dehydrate yourself and you drop a crazy amount of weight over like a week, are you messed up for like 2 weeks?
My first meet, and that was my biggest mistake. I did the whole diet thing and I lost too much weight too fast. I went with the no carb. So for my wife, she wanted to go on a diet. So that's the easiest thing you do. Go on a diet with her, help her out. Well, it turned out that I responded better to no carb than she did. And I went down from like 235 to like 205 from January to like April. Just like that. It happened real quick. And so I had a meet coming up and it boggled me. Like I didn't know what to do. Luckily, another thing that I've learned is always ask questions. And I'm relatively a quiet person to myself, but when I'm in the gym, I'm a I'm much cooler than Jim. I'm telling people at work, Jim Genesis is a whole lot cooler than just normal me. I don't say much. I know I hold my head down, but in the gym, I'm a whole nother person. That's just you in my world. That's what I do. People at work, they talk about guns. They talk about cars. I don't say nothing because I don't know shit about it. But when you start talking about moving weight from one place to another, now you're in my world. And, you know, I love it. So, you know, I lost a lot of weight. And did it hurt me? It hurt me. And I did a lot of questioning and talked to a lot of people. Somebody told me, I said, you know, I'm losing a lot of weight. They said, what are you doing? I said, I'm running. They said, stop running. I said, oh, okay. And then I learned something called creatine. Had no idea what it was. All I knew is creatine made you gain weight. That's all I knew. Don't take it. It made you gain weight. Well, I did my research. That's another thing I do research. I'm pretty sure all these topics we'll touch on further along down the line. So I asked questions and I found out what I needed to do to make it through the competition. And yes, I had a successful competition, but I went into my first meet not as strong as I was that I knew I could have been, because I lost too much weight too fast and I didn't know how to. I wasn't as knowledgeable as I am now. Not to say that I'm just extremely knowledgeable. I'm always learning. Like, just sitting here now, I can learn from anybody. So yes, for me personally, it can affect. I've seen a lot of people do it and it not affect, but everybody's different. You know, what responds well to one person will respond different. And for me personally, that was just, nah, I can't gain a lot of weight to gain the strength and then drop back down to lose it. It's just, my body is just wrecked and fatigued, and you know, it doesn't work for me, but I've seen it work for other people.
So let me ask both of you guys this. A lot of times when people want to start going to the gym, or they want to start something, but they don't want to start the thing that require, like, hey, I want to start something. I don't want to start running, like, where you're by. They don't want to do a solo thing. They want to start a gym, but they don't want to go to the gym because they feel intimidated. Do you guys both find, because you guys both been to a bunch of gyms all over the place, like regionally, and probably every time you travel, you probably look at where the local place is to, you know, get a lay of the land. I find that most people are actually, like, the majority of places, I like to give percentages that are unfounded. I want to say like 99% of the places you go, if you go to the gym and, like, you get on a treadmill and you say hi to somebody, or you're like doing curls or whatever you're doing, people are usually really friendly. And if you ask questions, like, that's a really good thing to say. I don't know. We also live in that age where if you learn something on Google, you feel like you're eager to tell everybody about that thing you learned. Like, there's a rattlesnake that's glow in the dark or some crazy shit like that. But isn't it the same thing? Like, at the gym, like, if you engage somebody and say, hey, what works for you? Or am I doing this wrong? Or, like, I know before last year, I wasn't sure that I was doing my squat form was right. So, or no, I'm sorry, deadlifts, because I never really did deadlifts ever. Mm-hmm. And so I asked one of the dudes at the gym, one of the, not the trainers, but the people that work there. I was like, can you just watch me and, like, just tell me if I'm doing it right? And he watched and he said, yeah, it looks fine. He's like, if you hit a, like, larger weight where your form starts, he just gave me good advice. And right. Then, you know, he moved on. That intimidation factor is something that a lot of people have to get over.
What I've learned is the way it works is if you see somebody doing something, I don't give them advice because I don't know how they're going to respond. Some people are stubborn. Some people are doing it right. Some people don't want you approaching them and tell them, hey, do this. Some people get offended. Some people are intimidated. So when you just come up to them and say something, then that's where you may find a problem. But far as the reverse side of it is, asking is a lot easier. And most people are helpful. I encourage anybody, if you ever want to have fun or see a good time, come to a powerlifting meet. And the biggest guy, strongest guy there, I guarantee when it's your turn to lift, he will be cheering his ass off for you. And that's the great thing. Everybody's rooting for you. Every powerlifting meet I've ever been in, I've always had somebody come to me and say, hey, you know, offer free advice, you know, good lift, or this is what I saw, or, you know, you got this, you know, you're yelling, you're cheering for each other. So yeah, as far as the intimidation factor at a gym, asking somebody, that big muscle head dude that you see there that you think is intimidating, screaming, he is probably one of the nicest guys in there. Friendly, you know, you'll talk. Look at Ronnie Coleman. As big as, if you've seen Ronnie Coleman, you say anything to him, you're like, I ain't saying nothing to him. But then you hear him talk, you're like, what? I can't hear you, Ronnie. Like, I mean, he's a very soft-spoken guy, but the dude is
monster.
He's a monster. Yeah. He's a legend. And you're right with the intimidation fact. Most people are very, very friendly. The ones that are not, you'll know them. The ones who don't want to, you know, give help, you'll know. But more than likely, you've probably have stereotyped them anyway. So I encourage you, you know, if you have questions, you see somebody doing something right, they got their information for somebody, they got help from somebody, and they're willing to share free knowledge. That's where it's at. Free knowledge.
What's your experience?
I agree. Most people are willing to give out advice. I do agree with Genesis about, like, don't go up to somebody else and necessarily give them advice. If you do, it's probably like a young kid who looks like he's never been in there or she's never been in there before, because they'll be like, oh yeah, thanks a lot. You know, I appreciate it. I have done that. But if it's, you know, like a middle-aged guy, you know, kind of going at it, seems intense, like you don't want to go up to him and be like, hey, you're going to hurt your back doing those bicep curls or something like that. But if you want advice from somebody, just go up, be like, hey, you know, saw you benching over there. You bench a lot of weight. You got any tips or any exercises that you do besides bench that help your bench, or, you know, something like that. And most people are more than willing to give out advice. I will say, like, I don't always lift with somebody. Or I usually don't lift with somebody. So I'm usually not like talking a lot in the gym or joking around. So I usually have like a kind of a serious demeanor on my face. So a lot of people probably don't approach me for that. But, you know, I mean, there's been times where it's just like me sitting next to somebody and they're like, hey, you know, can you spot me? I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, we end up talking for, you know, a few minutes or whatever, and kind of got a gym buddy there or somebody, you know, and you say hi to or whatever. But yeah, I mean, if you're not sure of something, ask. If not another, you know, member of that gym, then ask the staff.
So I have one more question, and then we're going to end, because the theme here, sort of, the theme of this whole show from start to finish, we're going to talk about fitness. We're going to talk about how to live a healthier life. But one of the ways, like scientifically proven, is that you need to have a good group of people around you. It seems like Genesis already said that one of the big things, like, you have a lot of fun in the gym. You have a lot of guys. You usually now go to the same gym.
Yes.
But you used to hop around a little bit, and you knew like where it would be I don't know why you hopped around, but if we could say that, like, you have a pretty good workout tribe.
Yeah, I go at the same. I go when I know somebody's going to be there. Me, because I don't have a consistent workout partner. Basically, it's just me. But I've been very fortunate to go to a gym. I go to Body Max Fitness. That's my main gym. Also, joke around, I have a side gym, which is Anytime Fitness. That's just convenient because it's 24 hours. But I go to Body Max Fitness in Maryville. And we have a group of people where people spot me. If you know, I record all my videos and post them on Instagram, you will see 6-7 different people spotting me. Anytime I ask people for a spot, they are more than willing to spot. Because because of the weight that I lift, I want to take the pressure off my delts. So I always get a spot. There's a great group of people that go there. So I usually go, if I go in the morning, I go around anywhere from 11 to 12. I have a bodybuilder friend, Brandon, who always helps me. He usually works out around that time. So I'll go when I know he'll be there. If I go in the evening, it's around, we usually have a rush around 3 to 5. And then there's another one from like 5 to 7. So I go around then where I know somebody will be there. And honestly, when I'm dragging, I wish I could say I went in the gym every day pumped and just ready to go. Sometimes I'm just going because I'm waiting for them to come. I see them come and they're in it. Hey, what's going on, Genesis? And I'm like, you know what? Let's go. Let's get at it. So I'm having a nice, good tribe. It's very good. You don't have to have a workout partner, but having that, just that group, that it's the atmosphere is actually what you're chasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I've been wondering about is, like, I obviously, like, I'm not a loner, so I know a lot of people. I have friends. I have all that stuff. I don't swirl around in circles where fitness is the main thing. I swirl around in circles where we'll talk about how much pizza we had, who drank, like, how much we drank. And I like drinking. Whatever. I like drinking. I like going out. I like going out staying late. I like talking with people. I like doing all those things. I have unhealthy habits. I have healthy habits, but I don't like when people talk about, yeah, man, last night I had like a case of beer, blah, just drink, shut up, I'm like, do your thing. But anyways, my point is, like, I have noticed that there aren't many people that I hang out with, let's say daily or semi-daily or at least weekly, that are fitness minded, that are health minded, that are like, hey, this is the thing that I do. Or like, hey, let's have a clean, nice meal together. Let's cook together. I think one of the most amazing things you could do to bond with people is just not just have a meal together, but actually prepare the meal from start to finish and then actually eat it together. Or even that, just having a meal together in a conversation, and it's good for you. It's healthy. Greg, like, you're kind of surrounded by people that are health minded, or at least talk about it.
Training wise. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, when I was with Anytime Fitness training, it was great. You know,
which one?
The one in Cherville.
Okay.
You know, it was great. You know, I was around workout people, my close group of friends, like, everybody at least at some point has dabbled in fitness. And I really only have like one friend in the area who is still into fitness. So like when we get together, we talk about stuff. Right. And we've both been doing a little bit more like powerlifting movements lately.
Yeah.
And maybe later we can kind of talk about that maybe in a
But you also still time. Do baseball leagues. Like you're in a couple leagues.
Yeah, I play baseball. But that's another thing too is like, you know, with fitness, like I said, I got about one friend who's serious about it. And then with baseball, like same thing kind of growing up. Like, I mean, I had friends, you know, just from baseball, but like my close like group of friends, like tight-knit group of friends, like one other person that played for a while. You know, so I've not always had like that. Like everybody understand like, oh, I got to go to practice. Right, oh, right. Well, we're all hanging out. Like, yeah, I still have to practice or right. I have to go to the gym. You know, like
right.
I didn't get my work. You know, I'm supposed to get 5 workouts or 6 workouts in this week or 4, whatever it is, 3 workouts, whatever my goal is for that week. You know, I do have friends that still don't understand, you know. So like I don't always have that support system, I guess. Mm-hmm. But same thing, you know, like it depends. And I've kind of been bouncing around, you know, I've worked at a couple different gyms. So I haven't been like consistent at one gym to kind of build that like tribe, like Genesis was talking about, where he goes and he knows certain people are going to be there, some of his buddies. And then also, you know, people do hop around gyms. So I've worked out at Charter Fitness back when it was Cardinal Fitness, you know, when it pretty much first opened, especially at the one in Schererville. High school was great because, you know, there'd be people. You know, I didn't talk to that much in school, but I'd go there and I'd see him at the gym and like we kind of created that gym camaraderie. But I just haven't had that consistency at a certain time mm-hmm. at a specific gym to really kind of build that back up.
Yeah. I got the camaraderie like in high school, I played soccer. And that was just when you play high school sports or like even college sports, the guys that you play with, you bond with them. You can't help yeah. it.
You well, especially, you know, high school or college where if it's competitive because you're practicing every day.
Right. You're together all the time.
You see them more than your friends. Right. Sometimes your family.
Right.
Just depends.
And now, like, I stopped playing soccer. I was, you know, I can't play right now. But I've been playing basketball for a couple of years. I haven't played basketball in, let's say, 6 months now. But I was playing in the leagues, and you get that same feeling. Granted, you only get it for the amount of time that you're playing. We don't practice. But
right.
you still get that thing, like, where you know, like, hey, we played – like this week, now maybe each one of us are going to try to do this, cut this out of our, like try to drop some weight or try to get faster or shoot around more or something.
Right.
And that, to me, that counts too. Cause that's the main reason I like playing basketball. I like the competition, the sports competition, lifting, like all that competitive stuff is, I think it's good for you. I think you need to get, that's part of the energies that like swirl around you that you want to be competitive. And maybe sometimes you have an outlet. You might end up like being a little angrier when you're driving your car, a little more road rage because you want to like, you want to get it out.
Right.
And I don't know. I think that kind of, that's a good way to have an outlet for that stuff. To me, sports is like a big deal and like anything competitive, really.
Like one thing I kind of want to jump off with that is like you brought up some sort of competitiveness from it. I would say that's like sometimes the downfall of fitness is that If you kind of go by yourself or even with a friend, you know, your goal, that like drive, that competitiveness to get there is kind of subjective, right? So like if you just say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds, you lose 20 pounds and you're not quite where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a little like demoralizing or, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I want to lose 50 pounds. Like that could be 6 months from now, 7 months. Like that's a long time.
Yes, it is.
You know, like especially from like, you know, if we're just talking about fitness, like the bodybuilding aspect is, you know, if you want to see results, you know, once you kind of get into your mid to late 20s, 30s, like it takes like a year, year and a half to see, you know, your results. So it's very kind of tough to keep that competitiveness towards that goal. And even with powerlifting, I mean, like, yeah, you have, you know, your goals for the week. But once you start to reach your ceiling, 5 pounds, you don't see that every month.
It's tough.
It's, you know, like if you want to add 5 pounds on your bench or your squat or your deadlift, like it could take 6 months to add 5 pounds. But, you know, just trying to kind of, I guess, keep that fire. Like it's not always right. easy. That's why people set small goals. Yeah. But yeah, that competitiveness, like sometimes it's tough to see on a daily basis. Like Genesis brought up, he went to go to the gym when, you know, maybe he's not motivated, but hopefully his friends, you know, come in motivated and it kind of motivates him.
Yeah.
I started the year with a max bench of 405 and now I'm at 415 and I want to end the year at 425. So we're talking about a whole calendar year to put 20 pounds on my bench. Will I end the year at 425? I don't know, but I'm sure hell is going to try. I may, you know, I want to get it. Do I feel like confident I can? Yes. But if I don't, guess what? When the calendar year rolls around, 2018, I'm still chasing that. But I mean, when you put that in perspective, a whole year just for me to put 20 pounds on my bench, I'm 30, you know, I'm 37. That's tough. Who can tell somebody, you know what? I got this workout for you. You want to get your bench up. But here's the only thing is that guess what? It's going to take you a year to get your bench up 20 pounds. They're yeah. like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're surrounded by like magazines and news and all this. So somebody's yeah. like, before and after, this only took me 26
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're seeing somebody yeah. want to get your bench up in 3 weeks.
Yeah. 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 I think we'll wind it down. We'll be a lot more focused next time. Thank you guys for the input.
Yeah.
I'll try to edit this into a coherent thing. There's a lot right of stuff that I want to talk about. I want to talk about nutrition more. I want to talk about sleep. I want to talk about like my thing for this week. Like Genesis texted me last week, like, what are you doing? It was a Tuesday. And he's like, I want to lift with you. Like I got back into lifting about 6 weeks ago or something. But I hurt my, like last week, out of the blue, Monday, I wake up. I'm 39. I don't want to give that an excuse.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is like, I've talked about it with Genesis too. He's been consistently lifting for 10 years. I go through these gaps and I'll just hit it hard for a couple of days and I'll hurt myself because my body's like, the fuck you doing? Anyways, out of the blue, I hurt my trap. Just couldn't lift my arm up. But I tried to still, like, I'm still walking. I'm still active. Like, right now, we're in a bookstore that I'm, like, one of the owners of. I probably didn't have to say that. But my point is, like, I'm doing a lot of work. So I'm on my feet moving around. My regular job, I sit on my ass. It's kind of bad. It's one of the topics we're also going to talk about. Most people have jobs where they sit most of the day and then they get in their car and they sit. Then they get home and they're tired, so they sit. And how do you overcome that, especially somewhere like where we're at, where traffic is a part of life? And what do you do? How do you might find the time or the energy? How do you push? We'll talk about what our strategies are, what other people's strategies are, because there's, like I said, there's people out there and they have figured out how to do that and they are happier and they are healthier and they know themselves better. But the thing that I was into this week, I'll end it with this, is that walking, I did that and then I started meditating. So I'm going to be talking a lot about that stuff. Like I think it's also, I think part of living that good life, that fit life is, you know, physical fitness, getting enough sleep, putting the right amount of stuff in your body. And then there's other things, there's mental things. So we'll talk about that too. And one of the good things is that you guys are already examples of somebody that's overcoming those things, those I don't wanna, those not today, or my big pattern is this is my last time. This is my last time I dropped it at Wendy's. This is my last time I'll stop at the gas station and just load up on like oatmeal cream pies and shit. And after this one, I'll do it. And then lunchtime rolls around and I'm like, well, that's the last
maybe
time.
Maybe tomorrow.
I'm gonna get a burrito and then that's the last time. And it's just, you know, it's a bad habit to have. And it's easy to end, but it's hard to make new habits. So that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about all that stuff. Thanks for coming in, guys. Thanks for listening.
Have a good night, Genesis.
We got your spot.